Song 5-3, 5-3. When I survey the wondrous cross, you sing it with me again.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood.
On the fourth,
were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
If you have a handout, let's pull that out. If you don't have a handout, I want you to raise your hand and the ushers will get you a handout, because we're going to sing a song that's not in the hymn book, but it's a good song, In Christ Alone. So if you don't have a handout, look for one of the ushers there. In Christ Alone. Get one for Auntie up here. Good job, ushers. In Christ Alone, we're going to sing that out here.
In Christ Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ, no guilt in life. the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Great singing, Pastor.
All right, if you would take your Bibles, we're going to go to Romans chapter number 6. Would you stand with me as we read this passage of Scripture together? We've got a treat coming up for you guys, and we'll get to it in just a second, but we're going to go to Romans chapter 6 first. I'm going to read a couple verses for you, and then we're going to get to a special, which I'm really excited to hear. So, Romans chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 15. I'll read these verses, we'll explain them in just a minute after the special, and I'm going to set kind of an overview of a survey, basically, of where we're going over the next few weeks as we talk about serving God and serving others. So in our church, we started with the theme, love God, then we went to grow together, and now we're at serve others in the year, and so that's where we're headed today. And so Romans chapter number 6, verse number 15. Here's what it says. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But we thank God that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Let's pray, and then we're going to hear a special. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. I pray that you bless this service, this message. Pray that you use it as we seek to serve others. Serve you by serving others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to hear a special from Trevor.
Good morning, everybody. Top of the morning to you all. Never think evil thoughts of anyone. It's just as wrong to think as to say. For a thought is but a word that's unspoken. In God's eyes, he sees it this way. Lend a hand if you can to a stranger, for in time, never worry if he can't repay. For in time, you'll be repaid 10 times over. In God's eyes, he sees it this way. In God's eyes, we're like sheep in a meadow. Now and then a lamb goes astray. But open arms should await its returning. In God's eyes, he sees it this way. In God's eyes, we're like sheep in a meadow. Now and then a lamb goes astray. But open arms should await its returning. In God's eyes, he sees it this way.
Amen. Thank you, Trevor. That was awesome. I'm really glad to see the new specials, a lot of new specials this month or in the past couple weeks. And that's a blessing to see new folks using their talents in our church to sing. And that's a huge blessing. So we have discussed loving God. We've discussed growing together in His Word. And as you do those things, as you love God, as you grow together, as you begin to thrive as a Christian, there's an impulse that begins to happen inside of you that you just want to serve God. It happens naturally. I want to serve God with my life. I want to do something for God because I love Him. I've grown in my relationship with Him and His people. And now I want to serve Him. And did you know that serving God is the greatest deterrent for apathy? One of our great struggles that we have as Christians is that we would become apathetic towards the things of God. We will stop caring about the things of God. And one of the greatest deterrents that you can possibly do is service. When you serve God faithfully on a regular basis, it's hard to become apathetic because you see the need. You see the struggles that other people go through. You're touched by their difficulties. It's also one of the greatest causes of a hunger for God. Because when you start serving God, you're faced with challenges that you don't necessarily have all the answers for. And there's things that you say, man, I don't know what to say there. I don't know what to do there. And so you're forced then to say, God, I need your help. I need your wisdom here. I need you to help me with this because I don't know how to help this person. And it creates in us a hunger for God, a desire for God, and it removes from us apathy. Really, serving God does for us spiritually what physical exercise does for us physically. Physical exercise is good. It's good for energy, helps your metabolism, it fights diseases, it helps your brain and your mental health, your memory, it helps you relax, it helps you sleep better. It's good for you.
Amen.
But the Bible says, Norm, when do you exercise? Anyway, continuing on with the message. The Bible says that we're actually experts at serving. That we serve something expertly. And I think that's one of the challenges that we face in the Christian life is I talk to, would you be interested in serving? And a lot of people tell me, Pastor, I don't know how to serve. That's not true. You know how to serve. The problem is most of the time what we serve is self. But we know how to serve, guaranteed. And in fact, that's what the Bible says here in our text in Romans chapter 6 is it says that you actually were servants to sin. You know how to serve, and now we thank God that we believe that form of doctrine. We became the servants of righteousness. We can serve God. So we know how to serve. We just got to direct it in the right area. Romans 6, 17 and 18 again says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Service to God and service to others is exemplified many times in the New Testament. Service is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is called day. The night cometh when no man can work. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So for just a few moments this morning, I want to give you an overview of some of the things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks as we begin to dive headlong into serving others and serving God with our lives. The first thing that I want to look at this morning is the extent of our service. So who do we serve? The answer to that is quite simple. Everyone. Everyone. First of all, the first direction of our service is to God. We serve God first and foremost. In fact, when we begin to serve others, we do it because of God and our relationship with Him. He becomes our motivation for serving others because you're going to find out when you serve people that they themselves will have characteristics that are unworthy of your service. You're going to find something in them that, you know, that person doesn't deserve me doing this, and they might not even be thankful. They might not even give you any appreciation for your service to them. In fact, they may be flat out rude. And the tendency then would be like, well, I'm not going to serve them anymore because they're rude. Well, we don't serve them because of them. We serve them because of God. So our service, first of all, is directed to God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. I'm going to talk about a lot of scriptures here. We're going to go in depth into these over the few weeks. So if you want to just write these down now, I'm not going to have you turn to them this morning. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22, the Bible says, he that is called the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. So first of all, we serve Christ. We serve God. Secondly, we serve one another. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we need to serve one another within the church, helping one another, looking out for one another, and then finally, to all men. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. This is an interesting passage of Scripture because later somebody asked him, well, Lord, who is my neighbor? Tempting the Lord. Who is my neighbor? Right? And Jesus gives a story that's fascinating. The story is a story called the Good Samaritan. The story is that this man was walking along a road. He got beaten up. He was left for dead. And there is a priest walking by. He sees him there left for dead. Priest should help him. And the priest, instead of stopping to help, walks on like the other side of the road, kind of pretends he doesn't even see the guy there. Then the Levite comes along, sees him again, ignores him, walks and passes by. Finally, there's a Samaritan. Now, Samaritan was hated by the Jews for a lot of different reasons. Don't have to go into the time of that right now to explain that to you, but they were disliked, hated. They were enemies. And he stops and he helps him. He bandages his wounds. He takes him to a hotel. He pays the hotel for him to stay there. And he anoints his things. And Jesus said that. He asked him, who then was that man's neighbor? Was it the priest? Was it the Levite? Or was it the Samaritan? And the challenge for us is to be a good neighbor to all men. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the verse that the Pee Wee Club quoted today is, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. But we want to do good to all men. But so we see that parameters. We're going to get into those details a little bit more later. But there's God, one another, all men. And again, we want to quantify it in our flesh. And we want to say, well, that person deserves our service. And I like those people, so I want to serve them. But no, we cannot make those qualifications. We have to say, we need to serve all men. Then we need to have the characteristics to be a servant. There are some things the Bible outlines that are necessary for us to be a servant. The first one, and I think one of the most important ones, is faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. As a servant, we must be faithful. This is important. This is necessary. This is good that we would be a faithful servant. But then the second thing that we need is devotion. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the challenge for us in that text is, listen, if you're going to serve God, you can't have a bunch of other things going on. You got to serve God. You got to have devotion to him. So faithfulness, devotion, and then obedience. We got to do what he tells us to do. We're his servant, right? We're serving him. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's coming to the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drinken, and afterward shalt thou eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. What's interesting about this passage of Scripture is the Lord tells the servant what to do. The servant does it. And the thought here that Jesus puts forth is, does that man need a congratulations for doing what he did when he was simply doing what he was told to do? And Jesus said, no. When we simply do what's expected of us, that's our service. And we need to have that mindset as Christians as well. We need to have that mindset. We just do the things that God commands us to do. And we can't expect special recognition. Part of the reason that will help us with that is the fourth thing that we need, and that's humility. A servant of God must be humble. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto your elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We need humility. And then there's one final characteristic of a servant, and that is sacrifice. Sacrifice. We see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8, passage of scripture about Jesus. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found as a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And for us to be a servant, we need to, yes, be faithful. Yes, have devotion. We need all of these things. But we also need sacrifice. Many of the things that we're going to have to sacrifice, some of those being time. Time. Time is a commodity that you can get no more of. Right? Like if you be extra good, we're going to give you 26 hours today. No, it doesn't happen that way. You get 24 and that's it. You only get one day at a time. And we don't know how many days we will get, do we? Now, we hope to be in good health. We hope to live for a long time. And I hope that's true as well, but we don't know. So our time is truly limited. And what we do with that time is important. And to serve God, we're going to have to give some of that time to Him. And that's a big choice. That's a tough choice to make, especially today when it seems like we don't have enough time to do good things. It's not like we fill our times with meaningless things. Oftentimes it's good things. We're going to have to sacrifice some of those things in order to serve God. Sometimes it's sacrifice of comfort. We live in a day, especially as America with Christians, is where our number one concern is our comfort. I don't think there's anything wrong with being comfortable, but it should not be our number one pursuit. And if serving God comes in the way of being comfortable, then we should have the mindset that I'm going to be a little bit uncomfortable in order to serve God. Comfort. What about just work, effort? We're going to have to sacrifice some energy, some labor, some of our resources of strength to serve. As dear Violet learned today, we are going to have to sacrifice some money. And I do believe in the concept of tithing, but there may be a time in which we have to give more to serve Him. We're getting really close, I believe, to getting on with this building, Lord willing, hopefully, I'm praying, God, please help. But one of the things that's come out this week is the official square footage of the building. And it's exciting. It's great. If you believe in numerology, this is great. It's 3,000 square feet, 777. Know what I'm talking about? Right? Amen. So if we want to build a Porsche, get rid of it. Gotta keep it. That's it. Stop it there. Here's the problem with that. The average cost of construction in Hawaii is about $2 to $4 a square foot. So $200. $200 to $400 per square foot. So again, you do the math. I rounded up to $2.50 just because I thought that was a good number. That's $950,000 to build our new building if it's $250 a square foot. So yes, Violet, give it all. And yes, all of us, give it all. We're going to need you to give, right? That we're going to have to sacrifice even some money to do some of this. We're going to have to make some sacrifices. And possibly even our life to serve God. That's one of the challenges that Jesus gave his disciples. Yea, your own life also, or you cannot be my disciple. There's going to be some things, there are characteristics that are needed for us. And then finally, I want to end with this thought, because again, there's a challenge to us to say, you know what, Pastor, I can't serve. And then there's another challenge that we say, and there's not a place for me to serve. That's crazy talk. There's a place for you to serve. There is for everybody. But you need to have those characteristics of faithfulness and devotion and humility. Sometimes people, Pastor, I love to serve for you, but I just don't have any time. Great. I think we have a job for that. You know? Right? I mean, you have to have those characteristics. You have to be willing to have some availability. Right? Hebrews, first of all, let's look at every Christian has the ability to serve in the church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. What the Bible's talking about there is that every part has a purpose. We're fitly joined together, compacted together, and every joint supplieth a role that effectually worketh in every part. So we need each other. And we need to work together using our talents, our abilities, and sacrificing our time and our energy and our resources to be able to work together to do what God has called us to do. The Bible talks about the church being called the body of Christ. And it talks about how there's some that are the hands and the feet, and there's some of the eyes, some of that are the ears. Everybody has a part in that body, in our body. And you serve a role in the body of Christ within your church. And every part is needed. Can the eye say to the ear, I have no need of you? Where would be the hearing, right? And we need to have that. And what's interesting is, today in science, there's these things called vestigial organs, or these organs that they can't really find out what their purpose is. So, hey, let's just cut them out, right? I mean, if we can't figure it out, let's cut them out. Right? Like your appendix and things like that. I don't know what that does. Get rid of it. But there's no vestigial organs in the body of Christ where you don't have a... What does that guy do? I don't know. Get rid of him, right? No, everybody's needed. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a job to do within the body of Christ. And then, not only does every Christian have the ability to serve in the body of Christ, every Christian is expected to serve according to his or her ability. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So what the Bible's implying here is that there should be a time when you as a Christian grow to the point where you actually become a teacher. I could never. Yeah, let God do his work in you. But yeah, you should become a person who's discipling other people. I want to challenge us as we begin this third theme of our theme for the year, with purpose, that you find somebody that you can teach, disciple. Well, I don't know everything. Here's a news flash. Neither do I. Trust me, I have the emails to prove it. Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, right, I get it. I don't know everything. I don't. I just tell what God tells me. What I know, right? And that's where we go. What's also interesting is that when we use our talents, when we use our ability, that use is rewarded. And you can go to the Bible and you can go to Matthew chapter 25 and you can read the story of the parable of the talents, right? And how he gave to some 5 talents, some 10 talents, one talent, and how they used those talents. 2 of them used those talents and they got back talents the same. And the one that had one talent went and hid his talent. He got in trouble for that, because he didn't use his talent. And I find it interesting. I think a lot of times we find the one with the 10 talents has the most talent. We say, wow, that guy should be serving. We kind of promote that guy. He's got the most talent. He should be serving. And he should be serving. And then we get the lady with 5 talents or whatever. That person, they should be teaching BB Club. They have talent. I just have one talent. I should do nothing. That's kind of the mindset that we have. And that's the wrong mindset. You may not be the most talented in the world. Again, I'm not. Ben. Right? I mean, that's true. More than some. But the reality is no, just use what you've got. And that God will use it and God will reward you for that. And then the church grows. And you grow. There's nothing worse than having the words of God, knowing God, and feeling lethargic as a Christian because we're not serving like we should. And that's what happens. We know God. We know the words of God. We've heard them over and over again, and we start to feel lethargic, like, and we're not serving. Again, service creates that hunger. Service creates that desire. Service kind of, again, just like physical exercise speeds up our metabolism, spiritual exercise of serving speeds up our metabolism of hunger for God. And we get this desire for God, and we start to get what we call being on fire for God. Because there's this process of loving God, growing in God, and serving others that's happening in our lives. And that's our purpose, and we begin to function on all cylinders, fire on all cylinders, and we begin to thrive as a Christian. See, you can't really thrive as a Christian if you don't love God. It's kind of where it all begins. And then you really can't thrive as a Christian if you love God and you don't grow in His Word together with other Christians. It kind of doesn't work really well. You kind of just stay put, and then even then, if you're loving God and you're growing in His Word with other Christians and you're not serving, you're still selling yourself short. But if you want to fire on all cylinders, just really begin to feel on fire for God and be on fire for God, love Him with all your heart, grow together with God's people in His Word, and serve others as unto the Lord. And when you repeat that process over and over again in your life, you begin to thrive as a Christian. And that's what my concern is for our church, is that we would thrive. We would thrive. Every Christian can then grow in his ability, capacity to serve. What's interesting, as you love God, as you grow together, as you serve others, and you begin that process, your own capacity to serve increases. And yeah, at first it was just maybe cleaning the church or singing a song or helping out with PV Club or whatever the service, but then all of a sudden it begins to grow and you begin to thrive and you begin to repeat this process and you take on more responsibility. And next thing you know, you're hosting a growth group at your house and you're serving God in a great and mighty way and you're seeing people impacted in your life for the cause of Christ. Co-workers are coming to know Christ and loved ones are coming to know Christ and people are filling the pews that you've invited to church because you have increased in your capacity, but you got to start. You got to begin. You've got to begin somewhere. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There's a new gym that just opened up called Trinity Fitness. And I know personally very well the guy who's running it. He actually plays on my basketball team when we have the league going on. And I know him pretty well. He's a good guy. And so I wanted to support him. I went to check out his gym. You know, I wanted to support his gym. You know, be there for him. As I didn't want there to be nobody. It's a pretty cool workout. One thing that's really cool about it is it's a Christian gym. It's a Christian environment. They do a devotion at the beginning, and they remind you of the devotion at the end, and it's all good, positive, good stuff. They have this one challenge, though, and it's really kind of, they say exercise or give your best to the Lord as you exercise. Like, this is my best. Like, I'm really wanting to dog it right now. You know, I'm kind of tired. I just want to get through this and go home and sleep. You know, but the reality is one of the things that he does that's really good is he starts at the beginning of the gym really simply. Like, the exercises that we're doing are not these really crazy exercises, or if they're hard, he'll take a great deal of time to explain them, and he says, we're going to build to get to some more advanced movements, but for now, let's learn how to pick up a 10-pound dumbbell, right? Okay, I got this. And then what I appreciate about that is I've been to some gyms. I've been to different gyms. Like I've gone to check out CrossFit gyms and things, and I feel so lost. Like, everything is like, you know, these guys are jumping on things, and they're doing things with their bodies that is ungodly and unnatural. Like, what is that? That the human body should not be able to do that. Demon, come out of him! You know, it's kind of, you should not be able to do that. And they're like, okay, your turn. And you're like, I can't even get up to the bar, you know? Can't do that. But we start small. Start where you're at. And that's true in the Christian life as well. Start where you're at and just start serving. Something little, and then grow in that. I'm not saying that today you need to become a leader in the church. You need to be the man. You don't need to be that today if that's not where you're at. But man, you can say, you know what, Pastor, and this is something simple, I just thought of while I'm preaching. Maybe you can say, you know what, after church, I'm going to straighten up the hymnals. That's going to be my job. I'm going to do it every week. And then we'll grow in that. Or whatever it is. It may be sweeping the outside or whatever the case may be. It could be something small, something big, whatever it is. Find a job and do it faithfully to the Lord. Love God, grow together, serve Him, and begin that process of growth to bigger and better service as God increases your capacity to grow. And that's my desire for each and every one of our church members, is to grow in your ability as you use your ability to serve God. It's very much like a muscle. If you leave it dormant, it doesn't work very well for you in the long run. You'll lose muscle. You got to exercise it. And as you exercise, you get stronger and stronger and stronger in your service to God. And we'll go slow. We don't want you to burn out and do more than you're capable of doing because you're not ready yet. But as you grow, we increase your workload. And you increase, and that's what growth is. That's what church is for, is to help you grow. We need to understand that in God's eyes, the greatest are the servants. Those that serve others. Those are the greatest. That which is chief among you, let him be your servant. Servants are great in the kingdom of God. Secondly, we have no greater example of a servant than Jesus. And we need to follow his example of being servants. And then look for work to be done. Qualify yourself to do it. And then diligently do the work. There's a saying that's from the mainland. There's a church in the mainland that has this saying, if you see a need, take the lead. Get it done. You know? Oftentimes we're great need finders, aren't we? Pastor, this needs to be done. This should be done over here. Pastor, fix that over there. And I get you. There's a lot of things that need to be done. I understand. I feel you, man. But when you see a need, there's important, qualify yourself to do it. What that means is you make sure that pastor's okay with you doing it, right? Well, I just thought it would be great to redo the front porch. I mean, this is, tear it down and rebuild. That's what needed to be done. Well, no, qualify yourself to do it first. Right? Like, get permission and make sure you're equipped to do it. Pastor, I was just going to rewire the whole church. Not qualified, but hey, just going to do it. Serving God. Going to meet him soon. That's, qualify yourself to do it first. Make sure we're on board. Say, you know, make sure this is something we should be doing. And then diligently do the work. Get it done. John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. I don't have to tell you this. I think if you're aware of anything that's happening in our world today, you're aware that the night is coming, right? I mean, the night is coming. It's coming. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. The world in which we live is headed for a place that's really bad. The Bible told us that that would be the case when the night comes, when no man can work. So while it is day, let's serve. We have the opportunity today. We're not sure about tomorrow, but we'll plan to serve tomorrow and beyond. We'll serve until he tells us it's no longer time to serve. And that'll be pretty obvious because we'll be out of here. So let's serve God together. Let's develop habits over the next few weeks and months as we close out 2018 of loving God, growing together, and serve others. By the way, if you just love God and you just serve others, you're going to burn out. You got to have that growth time. You got to have that time when you're fed, when you have something to give people and to help and to serve. You need, even if it's just picking up hymnals, you need to be fed. You need to grow in God's word. So love God, grow together, serve others. You need each one of those. You can't grow in God's word and serve others without loving God. It's kind of pointless. You need all of them. So now we're kind of putting everything together in our church. We're loving God. We're growing together. We've been focusing on growth groups. Now we're going to focus on implementing serving others through those growth groups. And I hope that it'll transform your life as we begin to complete the whole package of serving God, growing together, and loving him. One more thing before we close, and this is this. You can't serve him unless you know him. The title of this message is Saved to Serve. But we have to be saved. Saved is an important part of this equation. And let me tell you just real briefly what it means to be saved. First thing we need to understand is that we're sinners. I'm a sinner. I know we live in a culture where it's not good to call ourselves sinners, so our culture says, but the Bible does call us sinners. And when we look into our heart, it's very easy to identify, I am a sinner. Something wrong with me inside. I have a desire to do wrong. That's a sin nature. It's to break God's laws, to go my own way. All of us do. We know this. We've been tempted with evil. We've done evil. We're sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, it's more than that. The Bible actually talks about, and that's why God is so passionate about all of this. It's why God is so, why he would send his only begotten Son. It's why he invests in what, because there's a price for sin. That price is heavy. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God. In a place the Bible defines as hell. It's a very real place. It's a place of torment. It's a place of terribleness. It's the punishment for sin. Death. But God loves you. He loves you so much, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, his only Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. God has a gift for you. And we're getting ready to do Christmas, and I love Christmas where we exchange gifts, and I love it because it's Jesus' birthday, and we give everybody gifts but Jesus. We'll fix that this year, amen. But we give everybody gifts but Jesus, but we give these gifts. And the greatest gift is Jesus. And he's God's gift to you in that while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And the gift is Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And if you'll believe in Jesus, you'll trust Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says you will be saved. You shall be saved. And that's what we're talking about, the salvation that we're talking about. Saved from our sin, the sin that we've committed, paid for by what Jesus did for us on the cross. Not erased, paid for, canceled out by what Jesus did on the cross. That's great. That's salvation. And if you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're saved, I don't want you to leave here today without knowing for certain that you know Jesus as your Savior. So we're going to have every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for church. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you that question real quickly. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I am saved. I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven if I was to die. I don't know. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'll see it. Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand. I'll see it. We can put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. If you're here, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that here today? And then, Christian, would this be your prayer? Would you pray, God, would you help me be a servant and grow in my ability, a capacity to serve? Help me, God, be what you want me to be. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to take our hymn books. We're going to go to hymn 500.
morning, folks.
Morning.
A few announcements before we get